From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the ninth day of December 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. The folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County will be along to look at the cash grain segment. We'll discuss the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Along the way today, we'll tell you about a very special airing tonight of a brand new program from WILL. It's called Coursework, Dinner Season at Prairie Fruits Farm. It's a great program. You'll learn all about it and all about small farms and local production of food today during this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
Check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. Settlement prices from the CME Group, December soft red winter wheat for the day, up a penny and three quarters for Monday afternoon at $6.39. The March at 6.50 and a half, down a half, and July of next year at 6.53, down 1 cent. That, of course, the soft red winter wheat harvest month. Hard red December at 7.03 and a half, down a penny and three quarters in the hard red harvest month. July at $6.89 a bushel, up a half cent. December corn futures at 4.28 and a half, a settlement price up 4.5 cents. The March at 4.38, 3 3/4 higher. May corn $4.46 and a half, up 3 3/4 in July contract. $4.53 and a half, up 3 3/4 as well. December corn $4.67 and a quarter, 3 1/2 cents higher. January soybeans $13.43 and 3/4, 18 1/4 higher. The March up 16 1/4 cents at $13.26 and 3/4, and May futures at $13.11 and 3/4, up 15 1/4. September at $12.10 and a quarter, 8 3/4 higher, and November beans $11.72 and a quarter. Up 8 cents for the day. Bean meal finished at $4.61.60 in the December, up $14.30. Bean oil December contract at $40 and a nickel, down 23 cents for the day. Live cattle futures in the December at $131.60, up 17.5 cents. February true futures finished up at $133 and a nickel, up 20 cents for the day in the live cattle. January feeder cattle at $165.15, up 67.5 cents. The March at $165.40. up 72.5, and December lean hogs for the day, $81.37 and a half, down 30 cents. February up 85 at $89.85. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures nearby contract, January, $97.52 a barrel, down 13 cents. The RBOB gasoline or wholesale price at $267.50, that's down a nickel and a tenth. Ethanol futures at $2.02, up 2 7/10, and natural gas at $4.23.50, 12 and a tenth of a cent higher. Diesel fuel at $3 a penny and 2 tenths, down 4 and 3 tenths, and gold futures at $1,234.90 an ounce, $5.30 higher. The U.S. dollar at 80.12. That's down 0.18 on the afternoon. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon tells us that we will see partly sunny skies, a high of 24 degrees on a west wind this afternoon between 11 and 14 miles an hour. It'll gust as high as 20. This evening, mostly cloudy skies. It will be really cold, single digits, lows in the area of just 9 degrees, but wind chill values all below zero for the most part, down to 3 below and up to at least 7 degrees. But the temperatures I've seen have mostly suggested we will be as low as 10 degrees below zero on the wind chill for this evening. West winds at 8 to 10 miles an hour tonight. Sunny skies, tomorrow that is, sunny skies and a high of 26 degrees. Wind chill values between negative 3 and 7. Breezy with a wind out of the west at 8 to 13 miles an hour tomorrow. Gusting all the way to 15 to 20 in the afternoons. Wind gusts tomorrow could get as high as 30 degrees. Partly cloudy on Tuesday evening with a low of just 15 degrees. Southwest winds by then at 6 to 10. And partly sunny on Wednesday with a high of 27 degrees. A southwest wind at 7 to 11. Mostly clear Wednesday evening with a low of 6. That's what happens when the skies clear out. And Thursday, sunny skies in 22. Partly cloudy on Thursday evening and a low of 16. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural markets is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about trade and the way things happened on this Monday before tomorrow's USDA reports.
Upfront beans continue to be the bullish leg of the trading cycle here over the near term, looking at basically continued demand coming forward here. China bought another 290,000 tons of U.S. beans. And they continue to gather inventory, even though they are shifting interest to the southern hemisphere. Seems to be a marketing strategy for them, at least to secure beans now, in case things come a little unglued, especially in the southern hemisphere. Argentina seeing some political concerns, the police demanding some pay increases. They've got some rapid inflation. So the fear, if you're a world grain buyer, is to get some secure inventories locked in case the southern hemisphere would become a little bit of a problem, and that's why the bean sales continue to remain strong as they do that. Also, too, if you're in that producing area, you have the tendency with inflationary fears hang on to inventory. And so sales, what remaining inventories not being let loose, new crop sales are kind of lagging behind last year as hard cash assets, as inventory and grains being held on to sort of keep pace with inflation, you know, if that trend continues. Then also, too, tomorrow we have the well-advertised monthly supply-demand report. Ideas are that domestic ending stocks and beans could be close to this 153 million bushels versus where we were last month at 170 million bushels due to a little better export and crush pace, Todd.
Well, I'm wondering about that 153. That number compared to others in the recent past is still, 25, 30 million bushels higher than where we've been. Can we maintain the price of soybeans where it is? Will this thing get tighter? Can we go higher? What's your druthers?
Short term, I think we can hang in there at least till tomorrow at 11 o'clock.
Thanks. Thanks, Kurt. Thanks a lot.
The trade's kind of viewing this 13.5 as some resistance here. Technical, if we can close above that, the bulls going to start talking $14 upfront beans here. But I think stair-step process, one would be the report tomorrow, then secondly, the southern hemisphere. So we are in that time window that was well advertised, the seasonal increase in basis and prices in general as we move into mid-late December. So price-wise, we're kind of there, but timing-wise, you know, with tight producer holding here in the U.S. and decent export news thus far, the market should hold together here for another week or two times.
Are there much expectations there will be any changes in world production numbers from South America at all on corn or soybeans?
I would think they'd be somewhat dialed in to where we're at, about 88 million metric tons in Brazil and 53, 54 million metric tons in Argentina at this present time. Weather seems to be somewhat favorable. I would believe there'd probably be a little bit more fine-tuning after the first 2 years. We get more in the heart of the growing season. There could be some surprise somewhere, but for the most part, I think we're pretty well going to be close to what we've been looking at here for the last 2-3 months.
There are farmers calling and saying, hey, it's the month of December. I need to move some corn one way or the other. And if they do, what do you tell them to do?
Well, really not any panic urgency to move. I believe they're going to wait till later on after the first year when minimum storage is up, say, well, should I go ahead and let it go or start paying some more storage? Basically, our game plan has been to use this strength going into mid to late December to get caught up on some cash sales. Basically, beans are here at a point where, need be, this would be a spot to sell some for after the first of year delivery. Corn-wise, we'd be patient here and see if we can't muster a 10 to 15 cent bounce from here on a little higher. If you want to hang on to the cash green, one thing we've been doing quite a bit of is putting a price floor under us. That way, if some political unrest or some commodity fund maneuvering would come into place here, we've got some downside protection, Todd.
Anything for the livestock producer?
Well, just sort of chop sideways here. I think it's important to make sure we see some good ham movement here as we are in the prime of the ham season. Secondly, livestock profit margins are going to remain somewhat firm, and look for livestock expansion to start to heat up here as we move into 2014.
Well, good luck going getting through tomorrow's USDA WASDE reports. As a reminder, everything comes out at what, 11 a.m. Central Time, right?
Yeah, it's always interesting.
Hey, thanks so much.
Take care, Todd.
You too. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening again to the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. If you're in our listening area, and for some of you, even if you're not in our listening area, but if you're in the viewing area for WILL television, that would be Channel 12 for many of your cable stations. Some other places it will show up in some other channels, but you're looking for WILL TV this evening. At 7 o'clock, we'll air a brand new program, and it should be a really good one. It's called Coursework. Dinner season at Prairie Fruits Farms. The I'm going to call you the executive producer, Lisa Braltz, maybe. Is that right? Probably.
I'm a co-producer.
Yeah, co-producer. And Tim Myers is here. Tim, you did a lot of the shooting and editing for this program.
I did, yes. I've been hunkered down in my edit bay for for the past few weeks. I've lost track of time, but yeah, we've got a finished show. So
this is a program that follows a growing season on a local produce farm.
Right. It's a Prairie Fruits Farm, for those who don't know, is a small family-owned specialty crop-style farm where instead of growing corn and soybeans, they raise goats. That's the primary livestock that they raise. But they also have a fruit orchard and a really large garden. And several years ago, they decided to start doing dinners on the farm using either produce and food sourced directly from their farm or produce and other foods sourced from other local producers. So that was 5 years ago. So we give a little background about that, but then we also sort of track a dinner that we did for WILL on September 15th. So starting in June, we start tracking the hogs that they had on the farm that they were raising for dinners and looking at what kind of growing season we were going to have for fruit and other things.
Are either of you from a farm background?
Not directly, no.
No, I'm not.
What? So I got to stop you for just a second because I am. And mm-hmm. Sometimes it just freaks people out when they know the animal they eat. I know that it freaked my wife out a little bit.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. I don't have a farm background, but I ran the farmer's market here in Urbana
right.
for 5 years
right.
and became very intimate with a lot of the local farms and where food comes from.
It's in this case, that's about learning where your food comes from, and sometimes you get really close, relatively speaking, because it did bother my wife, I know, to know that we were out on the farm and then there was an animal that was in the freezer.
And I think that is definitely a big part of what we were trying to do here was to talk about where food comes from and to show people where food comes from. And but also that's something that Prairie Fruits Farm, I think, is very invested into is educating people, hence the name Coursework. Both Wes Gerald and Leslie Cooper Band were professors at the University
right.
of Illinois. And now they're doing this, and the dinners are such a large part of how they reach the public and how they educate the public.
As you were on the farm, shooting farm scenes can be gorgeous, and I saw some of what you have, what some of your videography online, and it's just beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was really exciting to actually be out on the farm. You know, as you said, there's just so much gorgeous scenery, and as Lisa had said, this year was such a great growing season. The fruit, I mean, as you'll see in the documentary, you know, I mean, I certainly can't take credit for that. I mean, the peaches were amazing. The pear trees, the blackberries, I mean.
The trees are like, the branches are bent down to the ground. They're so full of fruit. And I've known those folks for 8 years. I've never seen the farm like that. So Tim really did a good job of capturing that.
But yeah, just being out there, I mean, it was, you know, even though, you know, shoots can be long days, and you know, if the weather, if it's hot out, it can be, you know, just exhausting. But yeah, I wouldn't complain. It was definitely a treat being out there shooting all that footage. So
how much time did you spend?
Well,
there.
Yeah, at Prairie Fruits Farm. Well, there, you know, as I'm sure some people don't know, Prairie Fruits Farm is about maybe five to 8 minute drive from WILL. And so I actually took quite a few trips out as we were, you know, as we were trying to capture, you know, the evolution of the, you know, as the season progressed.
The growing season.
Yeah, the growing season.
The progression of the growing
season.
There
you go. Yeah. And I was probably out there, I think probably averaged maybe 4 days a month from July to into September. But some days, you know, we're half days. I think the most was maybe 6 or so hours we were out there at a given time. But yeah, it was exciting just going out and just seeing, I mean, just seeing ourselves, how things change so drastically over
because
the few months.
They do. They change in an inordinate amount from the very beginning of the season to the very end. And there's always something coming up, coming on, and always something leaving, right?
Exactly. And just when we were in the footage review stage, when after we had captured all the B-roll and we were done with the interviews and we were putting the program together, it really was shocking to see the difference between the end of June and mid-September. You know, everything was so different. The size of the animals, the foliage was different colors, different flowers were blooming. And that's definitely something that we wanted to try and convey too, is to remind people of seasonality and eating in season. And when we were planning the menu, for the dinner with the chef, Elisa DeMarco, you know, she was very cognizant of what is going to be in the garden at that, you know, in September, even though she was working at that time with produce in June. So, you know, that sort of seasonality is something that I think has been lost in our eating over the years. And that is something that we're trying to convey in this program, that, you know, food does have a season. And yeah, if you want it fresh, then you have to have it in season.
So in a paragraph, what's the program about?
Program is about the evolution of, it's divided into three segments. The first segment is about the history of the farm and how the farm dinners came to be. The second segment is about the food that is being planned for this dinner and how it grows. And the third segment is about the dinner itself and what they need to do in order to get the dinner on the table for these people who come, and these dinners are very popular. So it really is, it's about evolution. I think that's a good word that Tim used. Not just about a dinner on the farm, but also the farm in the grand scheme of the new local food system that's here.
How long is the program?
It is about 25 minutes total runtime.
And so it'll run tonight at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
On WILL-TV,
yes.
Channel
and
12.
And Wes and Leslie will be joining us on the pledge set tonight, too, to talk about the making of the film as
That's
well.
That's right. So they'll be there live.
They will be there live with us.
And we'll be pledging at that time for mm-hmm. WILL television.
That's
course,
right.
It's public broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be a fantastic show this evening to watch. Which segment do you like best for people when they're watching?
Of
the 20, because I know you, I edit television, and so I know that you've seen the program probably 100 times already. But there's got to be things that you just love.
I would say, I mean, that's a tough one to pick a segment, but the dinner segment, I think, is, which takes place in the final segment, with the dinner actually coming together, and seeing, you know, 'cause people, you know, I knew about farm to table dinners. I knew, you know, kind of the look and feel that, you know, you kind of think of when you think of a farm to table dinner, but actually seeing it, you know, come together and, you know, people experiencing that after having just seen, you know, all of these, you know, scenes of the farm, you know, hearing from Wes and Leslie and Elisa, you know, talking about their role in the farm, and just seeing that come together with, you know, of course, all the delicious food. Like, you get a lot of behind the scenes in the kitchen, seeing these dishes come together. And that's really, really exciting. What about you, Lisa?
Well, I'm partial to storytelling. And so for me, letting people know about the history of Prairie Fruits Farm, which Elisa and Wes and Leslie do really well in that first segment, and the history of the dinners themselves, starting with the trial dinner 5 years ago, I really like telling that story and showing people how far it's come over time. Although I love every segment, I'm very partial to that particular one.
So again, tonight, 7 o'clock?
7 p.m.
WILL Television. Be sure to watch it this evening, no matter where it is on your dial, because I know it's on several dials in different places, but look for WILL. Thank you so much, Tim Myers and Lisa Braltz, for being here with us, and congratulations on a great program. I love the subject matter. I think it should be just a fantastic program to watch.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you.
And
thanks for having us.
That's again tonight, right here on WILL Television. That's the home station we're coming from for this program, The Closing Market Report. You'll be looking for coursework, dinner season at Prairie Fruits Farm. Again, 7 o'clock tonight on WILL. Let's check now on the cash grain markets. We'll talk with Brian Stark. He's at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Brian.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, you need to tune in tonight, too.
Yes, I do.
It should be a good show.
Yes.
Hey, so tell me about what's been happening, because I suspect on the grain farms not a lot's going on, and maybe they're just making a few phone calls to you.
Yeah, I think they're obviously wanting to know when the corn market's going to rally, and obviously the corn market's been locked in a very I guess less than dynamic trading range here, it seems like, for the last few weeks. Other than that, they're waiting patiently. A nice rally today based on some additional China sales to beans, and I think guys are more willing to move beans right now than they are corn.
And will that change tomorrow?
I don't think the pattern changes. I think you're not going to see heavier corn movement until after the first year at the earliest.
And once we get through the first of the year, will that be because they'll be looking at a price that begins to dwindle quickly?
I would say so, and obviously coupled with the fact that at some point, whether it's January, February, or March, they'll eventually need some cash flow.
And what are your bids for the day?
Tonight we are 430 for old corn, 442 for new crop. Old beans are 1344. New crop 14, beans 1147.
Hey, thanks so much, Brian.
Thanks, Todd.
Brian Stark is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Joins us to take a look at the cash grain market on this Monday afternoon.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Some things to keep in mind. Tomorrow, I'll be headed to Mount Vernon for an evening event at the Farm Credit Services Building. Registration, I believe, starts at 5:30, dinner at 6, and then we'll have, along with us, Matt Bennett, Gary Schnitke, and Sherman Newland. That's at Farm Credit Services for a Will Ag Outlook panel tomorrow evening. And then in Sykeston, Missouri at 1 o'clock at the Minor Convention Center. And we'll have Zwicker, Bakes, and Bondurant with us.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
It's National Pastry Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1868, Fritz Haber was born, a German physical chemist. He won the Nobel Prize for Chemistry in 1918 for developing a method of synthesizing ammonia directly from nitrogen and hydrogen. His process led to the commercial large-scale production of nitrogen fertilizer. In 1886, Clarence Birdseye was born. Birdseye was inventor of the deep freezing food method and co-founder of General Foods Corporation. On Arctic trips as a field naturalist for the U.S. government, he noticed that freshly caught fish, when placed onto the Arctic ice and exposed to the icy wind and frigid temperatures, froze solid almost immediately. He also learned that the fish, when thawed and eaten, still had all its fresh characteristics. He concluded that quickly freezing certain items kept large crystals from forming, preventing damage to their cellular structure. In 1935, Lafayette Benedict Mendel died. An American biochemist, he published many papers on nutrition. His work on vitamins and proteins helped establish modern standards of nutrition. And in 1997, Carl August Fulkers died. He was the first to isolate vitamin B12. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. Be sure to visit us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming and all of our Ag Outlook panels scheduled. They are over on the right-hand side of the page. We have two this week. We have several coming up in the month of February and January. And if you'd like to schedule one for yourself, you can just get hold of Dave or I. It's all at willag.org.
Support comes from Country Financial. Country Financial is hosting farm information sessions throughout Illinois from December to March. Topics include updates to the federal crop insurance program, the farm bill, and how to use grain marketing and crop insurance together to manage risk. Registration information is on their crop update website at countrycrop.com/update.
You're listening to the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Drew Lerner left us a note about the weather forecast. He's a meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Most of the Midwest will likely see tranquil weather this week, but it will definitely be cold still. We expect to see the afternoon temperatures staying well below average for a couple of days yet, and a little reinforcing shot of cold across the northern states will likely perpetuate the situation just a little while longer, while southern portions will probably not see nearly as much cold air as we move into the second half of this week. Specifically, we do expect to see low temperatures tomorrow morning in the negative and positive single digit readings across the northwestern portions of the Midwest, with some readings well below zero in portions of northern Minnesota and northeastern portions of North Dakota. We'll expect to see lows in the lower parts of the Midwest running mostly in the teens, with a handful of upper single-digit readings possible. And it looks like as we go into Wednesday and Thursday, we'll see two things happen. Wednesday will likely have temperatures rebound just a tad bit, with a new surge of cold air coming into the northern portions of the western Corn Belt, and we'll probably see some negative 20 degree temperatures near the Canada border on Wednesday morning, but all other areas in the Midwest will probably be a little bit warmer than they will be tomorrow morning. We'll expect that cold surge, though, to move through a fair amount of the Midwest as we move on into Thursday and Friday. Thursday will probably be the coldest morning. We'll look for a lot of positive and negative single digit readings across the northern portions of the Midwest, while the lower areas will probably see lows running mostly in the teens, with a handful of locations possibly getting into some lower 20s. We'll expect to see the coldest air beginning to abate after that, and temperatures at the end of this week may actually be just a tad bit warmer than usual in a couple of spots, but mostly with more seasonable temperatures, with highs in the 20s and 30s expected Friday and Saturday across portions of the Midwest. Precipitation is not expected to be very significant over these next few days. Most of the significant precipitation early this week will be near and east of the Appalachian Mountains. A little bit later in the week, probably Thursday into Friday, we'll likely see a little disturbance developing across the lower eastern parts of the Midwest that will generate a little bit of precipitation, but we don't expect it to be very significant. And that event may turn out to be more Friday into Saturday with rain, freezing rain, sleet, and snow possible with that event. It's too soon to get very specific about the amounts, but at this point maybe upwards to a quarter of an inch will be common, with a few locations maybe getting upwards to 4 or 5 tenths of an inch. The western portions of the Midwest will be left generally dry during the course of this week. We'll expect to see conditions continue to be mostly favorable across those areas even next week, with only a couple of minor disturbances moving through northern areas. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Our thanks go to Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated for his update of the growing region's weather forecast. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. Have a great afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.